Hey guys, welcome back to According To. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sierra. We are back with another Reddit episode, this time coming from the Unpopular Opinion subreddit. You guys love these episodes, we love these episodes, and we're here to just talk about some fun stuff.
Before we do that, we always like to start off with our weekly spotlights. So, do you have one that's come on top of mind?
I do. I have a couple, you know, fun things to talk about. So, my weekly spotlights specifically, I have two. One was when we went to our grandma's house on, was it Wednesday or Thursday night?
Wednesday.
On Wednesday night. And we had just like a nice little like homemade spaghetti salad, garlic bread meal. And we started playing escape room, but like also just like our uncle came over and we didn't know he was going to be there. I think he just drops by at grandma's house every couple times during the week. And just, it was like a fun conversation just because like we don't see him, you know, frequently, like in the sense like, you know, like every like once a month or something, I don't know. And so it's just fun to catch up, had some funny conversations, and it was a blast. It was so fun and distracting that we had intended to do an escape room type of game, and Meg and I ended up just like looking at each other being like, this is not gonna get done. So
yeah, it was like I was trying to like do the game, but then also like I was listening to the conversation, so I like really was not getting anywhere. But so we were like, okay, let's pause.
And then my other spotlight is just that I started training for the position that I got. And so, like, kind of delving more into having a job. So that's good.
My weekly spotlight is maybe the fact that we're kind of doing a little bit of work on our guest room. And so...
And I did want to talk about that.
You did?
Like, the whole ordeal yesterday.
So, in our vlog, if you want to see, like, a reference picture or just, like, some of the stuff we've been working on, feel free to check that out. But just to recap some things. So our guest bedroom, kind of like when we first moved in, there's one wall that's pink, the rest are gray. We have like a queen bed in there, but it's kind of just like a hodgepodge of like things that we already owned that we threw together to like make it so we had a guest bedroom. And eventually we wanted to, you know, be a little bit more intentional and have like an actual like nice comforting place to stay for any guests that might be staying over. And so I found like a picture on Pinterest that I just fell in love with. Sierra also liked it. So we were like, okay, our plan is to use this and copy it as our inspiration for the guest bedroom. And so we started painting a little bit last weekend. And then there's in the picture, and I've also seen like quite a few TikToks of like just people doing renovations on their own homes with people who add like trim to the wall to just make it a little bit more personalized and change the style up a little bit. And, you know, I was just kind of like, I really want to try and do that for this room because I really think it would add that extra level
to And
the
by I want to try to do that, we meant our dad will try and do that. So
to be fair, I didn't think it was going to be as hard as it ended up being.
We're going to talk about the whole ordeal. We did this yesterday, and so it's fresh in our minds. Keep in mind, we had already kind of painted three of the walls, and we were waiting to do this fourth wall after we got all the trim and stuff done so we could just paint it all at one time. So our dad knew that he was going to help us and he was planning on coming over this weekend, aka yesterday. And at first, he knew we were doing trim, but he thought it was just going to be like a square type of trim.
He knew it wasn't a square, but he had asked me in the past when I asked him, he was like, you like don't want to just like do a square and like make it easier. And I was like, no, I really think because instead of a square trim, it's got like little corner cutouts at each thing. And it just... I liked how that looked. And I was like, we're doing this like the picture.
And so he was like, that turns each like frame thing instead of in like four cuts, you have to do like 12 cuts or something. And it just
you have more
harder.
Angles that you can potentially be like a little off on. And then it makes things a little more tricky.
And then you also like keep in mind that like, I don't know if our walls are perfectly square or something. Some of our boards might have been just ever so slightly warped that, like, try as we might, whether we were trying to level things or make sure things were cut at a right angle, you know, it was becoming more and more tricky. And, I mean, credit to our dad.
And then also, like, the trim that we had was, like, one side is fatter than the other, and then, like, one side's skinnier. Like, that's just, like, how the decorative trim works. And so when you're making specific cuts to the corners, like, you just really had to, like, our dad was the one doing all the cuts. So, like, really, he came in, basically, after, like, cutting two things, and he was, like, I need a better idea of like what, how many pieces I need of what specific things, because like it was a little confusing with like,
I wish I could give you guys an example, but
and then like which, you know, angle are you cutting each small piece on?
Even when he had completed all the cuts and Megan and I took the pieces upstairs and went to the guest bedroom and tried to kind of like lay things out how we thought it was supposed to get set up, it took us a hot second to be like, okay, these pieces can go together, but these two can't. And like, let me put these two together and they don't go together.
Yeah.
So it was like a mind, like, I don't know, mind warp or something. But anyways, and keep in mind, he's like in our garage doing all the cuts and stuff. Megan and I are just like chilling in the living room because we can't help with much when he's cutting all this stuff. And so he's like coming in, like me, like, oh, we got to do blah, blah. Like he's very much like a wee person. And Megan and I are just like, yeah, we can do it. Sure. And he'd go back outside. And I even brought up like the TikTok sound where it's like, I've got your back. From right here. Yeah. That's what I felt like we were doing the entire time.
He was like, here yesterday. He was doing stuff. We were trying to be helpful, but like, he was the one mainly doing stuff. And so Sierra, I don't know what people on TikTok is like. On TikTok, the videos make it seem so easy. And because in my mind, and I don't know the types of wood that people are using, but in my mind, I swear people just like put stuff on the wall where they wanted it, take little nails, nail it in. That was my impression of like what we were getting ourselves into. However, our dad was, they got oak, which is a hard wood, but that's like the one that had the best pattern for the trim that we had options for. So then it's like, okay, you can't just nail through that. You have to like pre-drill every single hole that you're doing before you nail it in. And then our dad didn't like the idea of stuff not being in a 2x4. He hates when things are not in 2x4s. And like, it's just like the bane of like his existence.
Studs, yeah.
But in my mind, I was kind of like, it's not like stuff is hanging off of these. They just need to stay
on the wall.
On the wall. And so he was at least a little happy when like the top parts we had, like we could put those on 2x4s and the bottom and then the rest, like
it either was or it wasn't. But every time I hit a stud, he was like, oh, good, we hit one. So that made him happy. Anyway, so we start making our way through these frames, getting all the pieces on. We get to the first frame that we made, we get to the bottom piece, and this is when we're kind of like, we had been having some struggles throughout like, framing that entire
overall
piece.
Things were looking pretty good,
and we're like, okay, this is like, did it work? Like, is this gonna fit? Do these corners match up? And the bottom piece just would not fit for whatever reason. So we're like, okay, you know, we're gonna come back to that. So we did the other, we had two frames in that room, so we did the other frame.
That second one went
surprisingly
really
easy and like went a lot faster.
Everything fit a lot better. It was supposed to basically.
And so then we go back to the other frame. And I kid you not when I say this bottom piece alone probably took like 45 minutes to an hour to try and get on.
And also, so we have like our own drill bits. And so that's what we were using. And
you just
so
say, like, hold on, the funny comments that happened. Like, our dad was getting so frustrated with this whole thing. So Megan and I are just like chilling. He's like saying how bad it's going to look. And Megan and I are like,
I'm
no,
so
it looks
much
fine.
Like, I honestly am just like, you're carrying way more than I am. Like, we're going to get wood filler. It's going to be fine.
So anyway, he has like this whole box of nails and they're all like the same type of nail. And like the second time he tries to nail something in, it was like too big of a nail or something. And so it was a different type of nail in the wrong box or something. And he called it like an orphan nail, which I just thought was like the funniest thing ever. And so I was laughing about that for like 10 minutes. And then, this is like at the end when he was like really frustrated.
So he showed up here at like 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was
like 7:30 when he left. So, towards the end,
to be fair, we took a lunch break.
Yeah. And like we went and got stuff at Menards too, like when he first got here. So it wasn't all like working on the wall, but it was a lot of working on the wall. But then like towards the end, he's like, again, he's the one doing all the work. Like Megan and I are just kind of
we're just kind of like trying to keep spirits high.
And then he's like doing something, getting frustrated, like it's not working. He's like, I'll go home if you want me to.
like I'll leave right now.
That's how he worded it. He's like, I'll leave right now if you want me to. I was like, if I want you to, I was like, if you want to leave, you can. Like, I get you're frustrated.
Yeah.
But the way he worded it, he was like, you know, I know you guys are frustrated. I'll leave if you want me to go.
But it was definitely him just like, he's kind of wanting it out. But like, I'd said, if you want to go home, feel free. But then he was like, no, he needed to like finish.
I think it was because he brought his saw here and he didn't want to have to bring his saw back to like keep working on stuff.
Yeah. And so another thing too is like at the very beginning, we only had one drill bit.
Well, we have many drill bits, but one tiny
that was going to work
that we were using
nails. And so he was kind of like, do you think this is going to like work for this entire project? Like it might break and you're going to need to go get a new drill bit. And I was kind of like, no, I think it's going to be fine. And so, you know, it powered through 99% of the project.
And we had finally that like one piece of wood that we were talking about that wouldn't fit. We finally cut it in a way that it fit close enough. And so it fit and we were finishing screwing stuff on or
nailing stuff in. I even got my goniometer out for this project trying to figure out why the angle was so messed up.
Yeah. And then I was joking around. We had like three more nails to do to finish the project. And he had done one. He was on the second one. And I was like, the drill bit like breaks like right now or something. And then guess what happened?
The very next one.
The drill bit broke. Did I say that right? I think I said drill bit. The drill bit broke.
Luckily, our dad has like, he brought a good enough amount of tools where he had drill bits he brought with him. So we did finish it. It was all fine. And then he was very happy to get out of here. He, what did he say at the end? He was just like, or Sierra, I think, was kind of like, we'll pay for dinner sometime. And then he was like, no, being like seeing you is like payment enough. But it was like a joke. It was not payment enough. So yeah, of course, we said we were very thankful and grateful that he helped us out with that. And Sierra and I can finish the rest.
Yeah. But I wish you guys like could have been here because it was just so, so funny. Funny experience. I'm sure my dad, like, looking back, he's probably like, I don't know if I'd call that funny, but I was just along for the ride, so I thought it was funny.
Yeah. What's hard is, like, our dad, when he's frustrated, like, he's the one doing the work, so he's gonna get more frustrated than, like, Sierra and I were. To be honest, like, I wasn't expecting a perfectly flawless thing. I thought everything was looking fine, like,
my strategy is I step back by the door, and I'm like, that's pretty good. That's how I do my makeup. That's how I do things. How does it look from afar? And that's how we judge.
So our dad was being pickier than we were and was only trying to make it better so that he felt better about it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, look, it's going to be fine. So I wasn't really getting super frustrated or picky with anything.
Like, I cannot tell you how many times me or Ryan would be like, it looks fine. Like, just do that. And he'd be like, no, it doesn't.
And he was also getting mad with like, because again, he wanted stuff to be like super secure and like on the wall. So he's like, you're sure we shouldn't glue this to the wall? He did end up getting some glue and gluing some stuff down. So
anyways, that was what we spent our afternoon and evening doing yesterday. So, any other fun updates that you want to share with the class before we get started?
Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. I actually don't
know. We have less than 100 subscribers.
I was like, we're probably getting close. So
before we hit 1,000.
Please go help us out.
Also, one other quick fun update is that Megan and I are gathering some things to do a photo shoot for some new According To photos.
We have some backdrops even laying on the floor ready to go, and we've got some props and stuff. So hopefully next weekend we will be able to have some fun with that.
Mm-hmm. If you guys would like to see how those photos eventually turn out, you should follow our Instagram at According To.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it ourselves, so hopefully
give us a little bit of grace
with
that. I think it'll be good. It's mostly like how well can we like actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Produce like what we planned.
Yeah.
Because the vibes are right and the idea is good. But, you know, now we have to execute. So
how about you start first?
Okay. So if you are unfamiliar with what we do during these Unpopular Opinion subreddit episodes, we go onto reddit.com. They have 1,000,001 subreddits for any category you could possibly think of. Specifically, the Unpopular Opinion subreddit is very popular and people are free to share something that they think is an unpopular opinion that they have. And we like to go through, read them out with the class, and decide for ourselves if we either agree or disagree with the opinion and if we think it is or is not unpopular. So, first one I have, they say, they should really give a warning to viewers before playing a commercial for an upcoming horror-style movie. Really wish they would give some warning when they show these commercials. I'm watching a hockey game on ESPN, and then all of a sudden they show a trailer for a new exorcism-style horror movie. It's 10 p.m. I don't want to see that type of trailer for a movie right before I go to bed. I wish they would give me a warning when it comes to stuff like that.
As a fellow person who hates scary and horror movies, I kind of get it. I don't like seeing stuff either. Like, honestly, the one in recent memory for me was being at the movie theater, and then obviously, like, at the movie theater, they're playing a bunch of previews for upcoming movies, and I don't remember what I was seeing, but then they, like, played, like, the Smile trailer, and, like, that one really disturbed me. And same with, like, the Megan trailer.
That one was weird,
disturbing.
That dance that she did killed me, though, in the Megan trailer.
And so, I don't know. It's, like, you kind of just, like, once it comes on, like, look away. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
I agree. I also don't think it's a big deal. to me, it's as long as they're playing whatever the trailer is rated, if they're playing it on a channel that's the intended audience of that channel, I don't think you need an extra warning. It's like if I'm watching a sporting event and someone like gets hurt, I don't want to see that either, but like I'm watching it, you know, and there's a chance that can happen. Obviously it's not like the complete same thing, but if you like see something that you're starting to be like, I don't know if I want to see this, close your eyes, look away. What's tricky though is that now what they do with horror trailers specifically is they will try and like start playing a trailer, I feel like, that they don't want to give away as a horror movie, and then after a while you're like, it starts to get like more and more creepy and you're like, is this a horror movie? Do you remember, is it like the Knock at the Cabin or something? That's like either coming out or just came out. But I'm pretty sure when we first saw the trailer, it was like a lighthearted, like they're going to the cabin, going on vacation. You kind of start getting
more and more confused.
And then like it starts to get creepy and I'm like, is this supposed to be a scary movie? And then I'm like, I don't like scary movies. Should I look away? But yeah, you just have to turn away, look away. Let me see what some people say. Someone commented, quote, the following is intended for appropriate audiences, plays before some. So, and I know that does play before some. Like, if you see, like, usually trailers when they play, like, they'll show that screen, mm-hmm. so you know what to expect, but I can't recall in recent memory when I watched a trailer if it, like, always has that.
Okay, mine is, streaming has ruined the value of music. Before these streaming services came along, you had to buy the record, CD, tape, or MP3 to listen to it, and once you bought it, you owned it, and no company could take it away from you. Now we pay $15 a month for every song known to man, and nobody values the experience anymore.
I think you just talked about this, actually, recently. I kind of went on a tangent.
I've thought about stuff like this a lot in terms of, like, it's almost, I think it's, like, not fair to be able to compare music and its popularity with things back when you had to like sell physical copies versus now things are streamed. So like that's frustrating to me as like someone who likes knowing just like popular things back then, popular things now, how do they compare, what records are broken. Like it's not apples to apples, so it's just like frustrating to me personally. But then
I can understand how it does like take away from the hype that it once was of like, oh, like this new album's coming out, like you have to run to the music store.
Yeah. Or can you believe like people used to pay $1.29 for a single song on iTunes? Like that's a lot of money for one song.
It is.
And I used to not be like, I used to be someone that like didn't care that much about music. And so in my mind, I was like, I'm never paying for Spotify. If I want to listen to a song, like I'll just go play it on YouTube on my phone. And then I changed in college. And I mean, I decided it was true for the time. It changed when
we got AirPods.
We got AirPods and we got Hulu, and then you had like a combined Spotify student account.
Well, because I realized I can't go back. We went a long time in life, not like a long time, but like it took us until college to really like become like listeners. Does that make any sense? Like we would listen to music on like in our car or like
I was a radio girly always.
But until we got to college, like I would see people have like their AirPods or headphones. I never like had any headphones or like I was never listening to anything. I just walked to class with nothing in my ears.
I used to work out with just literally my nothing. Thoughts. Like, I didn't work out with anything until college, like playing in my ears. I didn't have headphones.
And then I think we must have gotten AirPods for like a Christmas present or something. I don't remember when we got them, but we did. And I think I just started using them more for working out. And just, I mean, I enjoy it now. What can I say?
I like the freedom of choice to like play what I want, have my specific songs, and so I get the hype now.
But back to the original unpopular opinion, I do think like it's exciting to have such easy access, and it's crazy that we can with like any song you could ever want to listen to, like go on Spotify and just like play it. But I understand kind of like that cult following hype that would come with like, you know, so-and-so is releasing like their new album, like Elvis is the only person I can think of. Elvis is releasing his new album. You have to go to the music store and like go and buy it before it sells out.
Yeah. A lot of comments are kind of just like there's pros and cons to both. Like a lot of people, you really had to like think about what you wanted to spend your money on when you were like going to buy an album or a CD. And then you'd have it on like repeat all the time because like
you bought
you've only got so many songs. And so like one of the comments was talking about how that kind of limited them to only knowing they wanted to like buy stuff from like a specific genre, because if they were going to pay money for it, they wanted to know that they were going to like it, versus like with the ability to stream all of the songs you could possibly want, you have a lot more freedom to like explore other artists or other genres that you wouldn't normally feel like you could.
I've also seen, related to like physical media versus streaming and stuff, like albums are not the same, or people don't listen to albums the same as they used to when they had physical like albums that they would release. You'd get it and you'd listen to the whole thing all the way through. And some people still do that when albums are released, but like you don't usually listen to an album that way anymore. I feel like maybe when it comes out, you listen all the way through, and then now you pick your favorite songs, and like those are the ones you stick to.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, I feel like you'd be like, I bought the album, or like playing this whole thing
over and over and over.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm guessing. I don't actually own any albums, but that's from what I've heard.
Okay, I feel like that. I guess I was like, we didn't say if it was unpopular or popular. I feel like since they just said it has ruined the value of music, I would say that I would maybe agree in the sense that, like, it certainly isn't the same.
I could see that.
Like, anyone can release and produce music and put it on Spotify and it, you know, available to the masses.
I can see that. Okay, next unpopular opinion. Adults who catch a home run ball should not be obliged to give it to a kid, and they shouldn't be hated for not doing it either. They have likely waited their whole life for this opportunity, and they shouldn't be given crap for not getting rid of a once in a lifetime opportunity.
I mean, sure. I honestly don't care.
Really care either. I think it's like cute when like you'll see an adult catch it, and then to me, it's only really like maybe give it to the kid if you're like both like right there catching it, and then you like you snatch kind of like, it, you know?
Like you want the glory of like the catch, but maybe you let them have the ball.
But like if you're like there and there's a kid like 2 rows behind you, I'm like, you don't have to give it to the kid. Like some people would do that too, where they're like, they catch it and they look for like the nearest kid. They're like, you take it.
I'm like, if you want the ball so bad, keep it.
Yeah. And I mean, if people dislike you or hate on you for it, like it's only going to, they're going to forget ball. About you. No one cares that much. Let me see what some of the comments say. Someone said, I went to a hockey game and one of the players gave me their stick and some kid asked if they could have it. Like, no, he gave it to me. That's funny.
Yeah.
That would be so awkward. Like, if a little kid, like, comes to you just, like, wanting something, you're like, well, I want it.
You're like,
too.
Said you could have it just because you're a child.
Okay. I don't have anything more for that one.
All right. How about relationships are supposed to be easy? Any initial thoughts?
I have mixed thoughts about this statement in general. Someone who's never been in a relationship, I think it depends on...
Sometimes you kind of look at other people and you're like, is it really that hard?
I think it depends on the nature. I think, like, knowing that you're with your person should be easy. Like, I think, you know what I mean?
Be, like, concerned about losing them or, like...
Like, you should be comfortable enough in your relationship that, like, even if there's the hard stuff of, like, the fights, the whatever, like, everything that comes with a relationship that is hard, it should be easy to know, like, this is the person I want to do it with, though. Okay. Is what I... I'm saying.
So they said, everyone always says relationships are supposed to be work. They're not. They're supposed to be easy, even long term. And I'm not talking about important life decisions like financials and having children. Building a life together is work, sure. I'm specifically pointing out the work that people refer to when using this phrase. Those who have said this in my life use it in a context when discussing disagreements or frustrations with their partner, and many are in unhappy marriages, some without even realizing it, and I pity them. If your relationship is work, maybe you should rethink it. If it's consistent work, it's probably not the relationship for you.
I do have similar thoughts in some ways to like what this person's saying. I don't like when people who you always hear complain about their relationships always say like, well, relationships are a lot of work. And they use that to like justify the dislikes and like stuff they don't like about their relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes it goes back to like just the general, I'm not thinking of any one person specifically or like a relationship specifically, but like you hear about like, you know, the old ball and chain, like whatever, like people who talk about their relationships like that or in that context, those give me the energy of those people who are like, relationships aren't easy. Like, you know, I'm like, okay.
Like, do you like
I don't desire your relationship, but I'm not saying relationships are easy.
You know? I feel like there's definitely, and some of these I know a lot of people use just like phrasing as like a joke, or it's just like common to say or talk about certain things like how we do, like people making fun of like, oh, the wife's gonna be mad or angry or whatever. And I don't love that so much because I just feel like it makes it seem like you literally don't like your partner. And hopefully, like, no matter what's going on, like, hopefully there's a blanket statement of at least you can say, I like my partner.
Right? At the very least. My goodness. That's,
like, even if you're frustrated with them for X, Y, Z, even if whatever, you should be able to say, I like them. I like hanging out with them. Maybe not right now because they did something that annoyed me, but, like, in general. This person that commented, I thought, had, like, a good analogy. So he said, I like to think of a relationship as having a car. If your car is constantly breaking down and needs repairs every other day, randomly lights itself on fire and is bleeding you dry to keep it running, you probably need a new car. However, you also can't expect your car to perform perfectly with no maintenance whatsoever. You still need to put the gas in the car, change the oil, keep the interior clean, and take it in for a check when the little check engine light comes on.
I think that's a good analogy. What's your, like, take on the whole, like, relationships should be easy?
I feel like there should be enough, like, I'm not saying relationships can't have, like, frustration or anything. Because, like, I think if you really, like, you care about something, you want to, like, you're not just going to be, like, completely, like, a pushover over everything. You're going to, like, want this thing. And even if, like, you're, like, I want it with you, but, like, this is what's important to me. This is what's important to you. Like, those aren't always things that, you know, work perfectly together. And so you have to come up with ways to navigate those disagreements. But there's sometimes you hear about people where it's just like they literally never argue at all, and sometimes I'm kind of like, how?
Yeah,
like how never? But I don't know, it's not my relationship, and if it works for them, then okay.
What's your take? I have like a kind of,
you just tangent. Want like there to be like some stakes in the game, and so you want people to care. That's like my big thing, is like I need to care about the relationship, you need to care, we both need to like care. And usually that means there's going to be some level of disagreement probably. Yeah.
What's your take? Because you know how some people will say like, oh, like if you've never been in a fight with your partner, like you guys like aren't in like a serious relationship or something to that extent. Have you heard people say that?
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
I don't feel like it's a hard and fast rule of people who have never fought, like they're not going to make it. So I guess like, I don't know. I don't really have like a huge opinion on that.
I don't either. I think if anything, my opinion would be like, who am I or who is anyone to judge like whether or not someone's relationship is serious or not
based on how many fights they've had. Some people probably consider fights to be different things.
Yeah,
so, like if you're talking about just like little things, then even the people who say they don't fight probably do that as well. If you're talking about like huge giant blow-ups, maybe they're like, no, we haven't had like a huge giant blow-up because we haven't had that big of a disagreement. So I think that, you know, there's not really like a right or wrong there.
Okay. Are you next?
That was mine. So no.
Okay. I'm next. This one's kind of not worded necessarily in an unpopular opinion way, but they said, more men and people in general, grow your hair, please. I honestly think hair is so beautiful. I see so many beautiful faces on men. And I just imagine them with long/longer hair and they would look even more gorgeous. Too many men have the same haircuts, usually buzzed on the sides and back with a little bit longer on the top and the front. It's really repetitive and feels like guys feel socially required to get this haircut sometimes. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with short hair and it can also look really good. Same with bald beauties too. Also, I want to recognize not everyone can grow their hair easily or evenly, and some people have hair loss problems. If you really love your hair, or if you really love long hair, you can try wigs too. Additionally, another note is that caring for longer hair can take more time and more money, so I understand some people don't have that luxury. They have a bit like longer. Tangent too, but I feel like that's fine to stop there.
I gotta say, I'm a huge fan of longer hair. And like, not like long, I guess. So like, this is, I don't know how long it's they're all, talking. Yeah. But like, what's
they've
it called?
They got like a flow.
Yeah, I was like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I like that. I'm not saying that like every guy has to have that haircut, because like there's guys with other haircuts that I'll still find attractive. But I just think that, you know, having a nice head of hair is good.
Thumbs up. And also, like, every time I see a guy get a haircut, every guy I've ever said, like, seen gets a haircut, they're gonna be like, what? But I'm always like, looked a little bit better before you got a cut.
Yeah.
But I feel like guys also just get into that routine of, like, it's been 6 weeks, I gotta get the haircut. And I personally, like you, like the longer. And also, I have to put it out there, I'm aware that guys are not getting their haircut for, like, what, you know, we think looks better. But we're just providing our opinion. But I also wanted to touch on, I think, I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or can be worded into one, but it's a hair opinion I have for guys. One, touching on like the buzz cut hair on top, I'm growing to really, really not like that look, especially if it's like a distinct buzz to like the hair is on top.
A nice fade.
Like a fade is okay, but if it's like, have you ever seen guys where like
half of the side of their head is like literally bald because that's how like high they take the fade?
Or have you seen guys who have like their hair like it's like a part, but it's not a part and their hair is just like bald on the other side?
Yeah.
I don't like that either. So that's one opinion I have. And the other one is that I don't even remember what I was going to say now. Oh, I think most guys, as they get older, they learn a way to style their hair. But I truly think like a guy has not fully grown up until he like learns to like style his hair in an everyday sense. Do you know what I mean?
Like have like their everyday go-to.
Yeah. Look. And I'm not trying to make it sound like, you know, you have to get up and do your hair. But like if I see a guy who like just like, I can tell he just like brushes his hair in the morning, doesn't care like how it looks.
Or like that's when you throw a hat on or something.
Like, I don't know how to word what I'm saying.
I don't know. But really, you can, you're kind of on your own, honestly. I don't really know what you're saying either.
I don't know. I just like when guys like know a hairstyle they can do and do that consistently. And like that's the hairstyle.
Okay.
With products and stuff. Anyway, that's all I got.
I also feel like guys should totally like embrace like, because a lot of times guys like want texture in the hair, but like if their hair is like naturally straight, then like that limits a lot of like the style you can do. So like I love when a guy is like, oh, I'm gonna go get a perm, and like, you know, has like the forethought to think like, this is how I'm gonna like level up my hair game.
You know, I love
what,
when guys like are willing to get their eyebrows waxed. Like I feel like some guys are still unsure about like going to like a salon or like a like waxing studio or whatever it is to like do a service like that, because they're like, no, like girls get their eyebrows waxed. No, anyone gets their eyebrows waxed. If you have too much hair and you're on your eyebrows and you don't want to tweeze them all day, go get them waxed every couple weeks.
Okay, my next one, this is pretty short, but it's, you have to be selfish before you can be selfless.
I need more context.
So I said, in order to help others, you first have to have your basic needs in personal life taken care of. If you don't have, or if you don't, you won't have the energy or capacity to help others.
I mean, I can see how like this would make it easier to be selfless, and it wouldn't drain you nearly as fast as if you were like constantly giving but not having enough basic stuff for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then that'd probably bring you
up. To be honest, fast. I feel like I mostly picked this because I'm like, this reminds me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so it's already been scientifically proven basically that this is true.
Okay.
You have to have yourself taken care of, and then after that you can, I mean, technically this is talking about being selfless versus like not, and like the other one is like self-actualization and like other stuff, but I feel like the principle still applies.
I see it. Next one I have is the way we teach math is outdated. I'm not talking about the elementary basics of addition, subtraction, multiplication, percentages, or division, but high school and college level math. Sure, engineers and math teachers are a thing, but after grad, 90% of people will not need these kinds of mathematics. It uses up too much time, paper, and thinking. At some point, they should ask students for consent if they wish to continue learning math and instead focus on subjects like finance, maybe HVAC.
You lost me at the end there. Why did we go from talking about math to other stuff?
I don't know. I think they're trying to get at, like, not everyone wants to pursue like a math-heavy career, so like go into the trades a little bit.
They didn't need to worry like that. I mean, sure. And some schools probably honestly do have, like, I actually don't really know how much. I think that, I'm thinking of, like, schools near us. And I think that some of them are trying to, like, implement more programs to, like, get people who want to go into trades, like, kickstarted in that. But I can't speak to, obviously, like, all schools. And I don't know if, like, regular school-to-work programs, like, do or don't incorporate stuff like that. But I would argue that depending on the school, that's an option already.
I, in some ways, disagree with this just because I feel like, for the most part, I never felt like we had to take any math that we didn't want to take, if that makes sense. Like, they're making it sound like in high school, people are taking math that they, like, I think, what's, like, the requirement for most people? Like, go up to algebra one or trig or something?
I know we had to take trig.
But then, like, that was, like, the extent of what we had to learn. And like, I'm not saying it's not hard,
probs but like stats we had to take too. I don't know if that's really like
higher, but they're a different type of math, yeah. You know. So in my opinion, I think everyone needs to learn more than just freaking like addition, subtraction, multiplication. Like probs and stats, while I don't remember that much, like it is applicable in like how you can think of
stuff. Something. It's, you know,
I don't know, you know,
but that's important.
Like I think there's a value in learning things that you aren't necessarily going to use, but it challenges your brain in new ways. Like trig, I mean, I could do like a little bit of trig probably, but like I couldn't do a whole trig proof. I don't need to, but I think it challenges your brain and your thinking. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
And then any math that we took beyond that was our choice because we wanted like the college credit or whatever. So don't ask me anything about math in college. I like took one stats class and I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that most people aren't taking too much math that they don't want to or didn't sign up for.
Okay, how about this one? Inviting potential significant others to a family event as a date is weird. Like, I understand if it's your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're introducing them to your family, you're establishing something. But inviting someone you've maybe seen once or twice and going to a family event as a date is just weird to me. Maybe it's because I'm not comfortable around strangers or other people's family, but too many people are like, yeah, you want to come to my family reunion? Too casually. This made me think more so of, like, oftentimes, like, on a dating app or something, you might see someone say, like, looking for a wedding date.
That has to be a friend's wedding. I would never bring a stranger from a dating app to a family member's
but
wedding.
But that's what it's, like, reminding me of. I'm like, I could not imagine, like, no way in heck is that, like, a first or second date scenario.
Yeah. So, I think, like, yeah, for me, if it's, like, someone meeting family, it's going to be, like, we're, like, decently established, if not officially dating, like, very close. Or, like, I picture whenever I'm dating someone who, like, I see, like, becoming, like, official, like, my boyfriend, they'll probably meet you, like, when we're just dating, before we, like, become official. Maybe they would meet Haley, I don't know. But, like, I don't picture them meeting my parents until we're, like, officially dating.
Yeah.
Or any other family. What's your take?
I feel like I agree with that. Yeah. Because, like, otherwise I'd be like, well, I don't know how permanent this is. So, like, why bother if... And then I also feel like, let's say I was, like, the bride at said wedding that someone else, like, brought someone they hardly knew to. I'd find it weird if I kind of was, like, you know, mingling with my guests and I went up and was kind of, like, talking to them. And then I'm, you know, either going to be introduced to who they're with or whatever. The person probably would just say, like, this is my date, so-and-so. And then maybe I actually wouldn't think that much about it. But I don't know. It's just interesting to me. If they were to be like, oh, like, this is my date. And it's like, oh, that's not your girlfriend. Like, why is she at my wedding?
You know what I think it is, though? Some people really, like, will not go somewhere if they, like, can't have a date. Like, can't bring a date.
True. They kind of, like, they need
like, they feel like they need, there. Like, that arm. Someone on their arm. To be with them. And I don't know if it's like,
I guess every wedding I've gone to, you've at least been there. So
yeah, I mean, I've really only been to like family weddings. Like I have not had like friends really get married. And so I could see like how the dynamics are different there. But for now, I'm like, I wouldn't bring a random person as a date.
Yeah.
Okay. Next unpopular opinion. Murder documentaries shouldn't be glorified. I don't get the fetish with them at all. There's the Dahmer one and now the Murdoch one. I don't understand why people think these things are fascinating, and the fact that people like to see how other people are murdered is disturbing and overall just shouldn't be re-envisioned. This is interesting because you and I, like many other people, like really watch, listen to things within the true crime genre.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know that there can be like definitely like a very like, yes, true crime's good, and then like there's also just like people really hate true crime. And I try to be mindful of at least, like, what is released. And, like, I don't know exactly, like, what that means because, like, I'm not going to act like I do a deep dive on stuff. But I remember, first of all, it's not, like, every single true crime thing out there. I'm like, ugh, gotta watch that. Like, I need to watch that. And so there was one that I know was put on Hulu. I don't even remember what case it was about. But I had heard people posting saying that the family of the victim, like, were actively, like, against that movie and project or documentary, whatever. And so I was like, okay, I'm not watching that because I found that disrespectful. So if I ever like hear or see something where it's directly related to like the victims' families and their thoughts on it, I try to keep that in mind with like what I'm consuming.
It's also a fine line when it comes to this like genre of content that people post in terms of like how much do families want stories out there. Some families like push stories
right
to either prevent things like this from happening again or to get justice for their family member. Like some people want people to hear about it and to know about it. So there's like, well, in that sense, maybe you should like listen and like tune in for that stuff more. And there's like the more gruesome stuff too that some people are like, is this just for shock value that you're sharing this and want to watch it? And then I think even the way that the content's presented can also get dicey. You'll see people that do like, get ready with me while I share this like true crime story. And that's kind of like, that's weird if you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so just, I think as long as you're being
mindful. Or then there's a lot of, you know, stuff of like with the Ted Bundy movie with Dahmer, like how they kind of like produce it and whether like they're glamorizing stuff or not, people like have opinions on that stuff as well. I don't have all the right answers. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think it's like wrong to be interested in like, it's the same thing with like, if you hear like crazy news stories or like outlandish things, it's almost like that I can't believe this happened type of deal. And I don't think you can shame people for like being curious about it.
Yeah.
But I think you can also, if you are someone who consumes true crime in any way, there's ways you can be mindful of how you're doing that.
Okay. Being in a relationship during middle/high school is not that fun.
Okay.
They had like a short little tangent, but it honestly didn't make that much sense. So I kind of just took this in the general thing of like, it's not that fun or it's not that serious or whatever.
Okay. Well, let's go with like not that serious because I don't even know like not that fun. Okay. To me, if like middle school relationships are not real. If I was like a parent of someone in middle school and then I had a boyfriend, I would be like, you do not have a boyfriend. Like, I wouldn't take it, but I'd be like, okay, like, sure, whatever. But I'm not, like, you know, putting too much weight in that relationship. I would put, like, more weight into a high school relationship if my kid was in high school and said, like, this is my boyfriend, girlfriend. I'd be like, oh, like, nice to meet them. They can, like, you know, go on dates, hang out. Like, I would respect that. But I'm also, like, aware of the fact that, like, high school relationships don't always last. And so it's, like, not the end all be all, but while they're in high school, they can be in a high school relationship.
Yeah. I feel like I mean, I agree with basically what Sierra said. I feel like I myself have like skewed, like in high school, I just feel like most people probably don't think to themselves like, this is like a pointless, meaningless relationship. So I'm like not going to have a relationship with anyone. But like that was my mindset in high school. And I do think that, well, first of all, like I wasn't really like, it wasn't like I was being like sought after. Okay. But like in my mind, I still was kind of like, especially the closer I got to graduating, it was more and more like, I mean, I'm going to be out of here soon. So, like, I really don't care about, like, a relationship or anything. But I also am kind of like, you know, I think that developmentally for me, it probably would have been helpful.
Oh, for sure.
And I probably shouldn't have been so, like, this is meaningless. This isn't going to matter because it's just high school because, like, it's still an important part of just like I think
you think back to like when people in general talk about like dating, like that like high school puppy dog romance, and I'm like, what? You know what I mean?
Huh? Yeah, can't really.
And so in that sense, you like lose out on some typical milestones that I feel like people have just like when they're growing up and like learning how to date.
Yeah,
like, you don't get that.
And now I'm like in my early to mid 20s, I'm like, whoa, I can almost say like mid 20s, and kind of having to be like just still such like a newbie with like anything dating related. But anyways,
so maybe in that sense, if you're like, I wouldn't say like encourage your kids to date in high school, but like,
but I think
some parents are really like, no dating in high school, and I think that's like, no, they should, they can.
Yeah, like if the something that comes up, then as long as the person's not horrible,
because that's where, if you are a parent though and your kid's in high school, you should have,
you're not dating
rules him. Like I think that as a parent, if your kid's
you
in high school,
you dictate who they start dating.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, this is not the person you're going for.
I think you can be more open with your opinions when they're in high school. Like, when they go to college, it's like, you can have your opinions and share them, but, like, they're probably not going to care that much. But, like, if they're in high school and you don't like them, you're like, they can't come over here.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine, honestly. Use your parental judgment. Okay. Next one I have is, small talk is actually incredibly useful and not a waste of time. I've seen a lot over the last few years about how people hate small talk, talking about neutral or non-important topics like sports, weather, pleasantries, because it's either annoying, a waste of time, or inauthentic. I personally love small talk. Even if it goes nowhere and feels scripted, it can give me a valuable few minutes of human connection, even on a base level. I often find, too, that small talk is often a door to more meaningful conversations. No one should feel forced into a conversation or interaction they don't want to have, but small talk is an important tool to kickstart possible connection with another human being.
I agree with everything they just said. I just am not great at it. So then I kind of like don't like it. Although to be fair, that's basically what I do all day when I'm talking with patients, is trying to make small talk. So
here's what I think. I agree in the sense that, like, I don't want to talk about like the weather or the whatever, but I do think, like, how else do you start a conversation if not with small talk? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not just going to be like barging in a conversation asking about someone's like
greatest fears.
You know, typically that's not the way I would go about it. And so it's like that valuable entry point into a conversation that can hopefully reveal stuff that you actually care about that you can talk about with someone else.
Yeah. I always feel like, too, instead of like, if you don't like small talk, like current events or something can be like a little bit more interesting and engaging. And then like, there's no stakes at play. You're not asking like personal stuff about them if you don't want to, but you can get like their opinions on, you know, like March Madness is going on or whatever, just like other things.
Mm-hmm. Or if you like want to like have a small talk type of conversation, but build into hopefully something that either you or whoever you're talking to cares more about. I can't remember what the exact, I think it was like a 4-letter acronym or something that's supposed to help you think about things to talk about. I can only remember 3 of the letters, but it's occupation, recreation, education. Like those are things you can talk about with anyone. And like, it's going to be more personal and you can get into like hopefully those deeper topics a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. I like have a couple more that I could share, but I feel like I got my main ones covered. So unless you have any like super,
I have one that I think we can, it's not juicy, but it's kind of funny. Okay. That we can end on. Replying to a text with IDK is kind of curt. If you don't know what curt means, because I didn't know what it meant either, I looked it up and it means briefly rude. So I completely understand if someone genuinely doesn't know how to answer my question, but if I spend time to write out a whole sentence, I feel like it should be common courtesy to reply with something a little more than just 3 letters. Something like, IDK, maybe you should ask this person, or IDK, but additional information that might be helpful, or even just, sorry, IDK, dude. Just saying IDK makes it seem like you think I'm not worth your time to give a proper response. It's the text equivalent of shrugging your shoulders, and it slightly stings every time I see it. I'm a frequent
IDK user. I know, I'm like, IDK, I'm about to go search my text right now to,
Like, I can get in some sense, but if I'm going to say IDK, Google it, they can use some context to like, figure definitely, out themselves.
I'm a frequent and, like, I might say, here, I'm looking at stuff I've said. To Sierra, I've definitely said, I don't know, or I don't know if we tried that, or I said, I don't know what to say, IDK, what to say. I feel like if you're implying, like, have at least some sense of, you know, you can look stuff up yourself. I send IDK
to you all the time. Like, I'm looking awesome. At. Actually, no, some of it's you sending it to me, too. Actually, most of it that I'm looking at is you sending it to me, but. Holy I feel God, like half yeah. the time it's because I send, like, a question that's not really a question, it's more rhetorical. And then you'll be like, IDK. And I'm not really looking for a response, but.
Mm-hmm. I am absolutely 100%. Guilty of that, and I don't think it's wrong either, because I feel like it's not rude in my opinion, in my mind it's not.
Well, it's like, because I like, want to
I'm
like,
sorry, I don't know,
dad's being like, what's the password to my Wi-Fi, and I told him the password and he said it's not working. I said IDK.
Like, what more can you say? What are you supposed to add? Like, so you have no more direction for him to go in.
Yeah, or like Maggie will sometimes like send a text and like ask questions, we're like, girl, I don't know.
And then the Google it is implied if you are able to.
Yeah. I remember like all the time with like, sometimes Maggie would ask us like YouTube, like camera or editing specific questions. And I'd be like, girl, I don't know. And then mm-hmm. the Google it is, or like YouTube or whatever is implied.
Okay. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure you give it a like if you're watching on YouTube, or you can rate our podcast, hopefully a nice high rating. Share it with your friends, your favorite mm-hmm. episode that we've had.
Maybe it's this one.
Maybe it's I was gonna say, like, I know there was a recent, somewhat recent episode you did where it was like one of my more favorite ones, but I like don't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Good, but that really sells it.
You guys can go find. We've had some good ones. You could go, if you've already listened, you could go check out the video version.
Exactly. Listen to it again. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next Thursday. Bye.
Bye.